Wasn't a very long journey, was it? But that is what we were talking about last week, living life on purpose, evangelism. Evangelism simply is getting involved in the lives of other people. It's making sure that our lives are touching others. Kara, the next one. That we have an opportunity through our lives to open doors into the lives of other people that give us opportunity then to share the gospel. And so we looked at that and we thought about that. Matthew 19 and 20, those verses that we call the Great Commission, which is Jesus' command to his disciples, but beyond that to the church, which is us, that as we go, we are to make disciples. Now, our focus today is going to go a little bit beyond the neighbor next door. It's going to go beyond our borders. Living life on purpose, evangelism beyond our borders. We're going to talk about that piece today. We are part of the CNMA. The M stands for that old-fashioned word, missionary. Someone who packs up his suitcase not to drive around the block, but to go around the world, to go to someplace cross-culturally. Within the Christian Missionary Alliance, this next slide shows us a little bit about the 5S movement that we talk about within the Christian Missionary Alliance, about the whole area of Caribbean Sun, which is South and Central America and Mexico, of the Silk Road, which is Europe, Russia, Arabian Peninsula, Central Asia, of Desert Sand, which is really Africa, and of Asian Spice, which is Asia and Australia. And we used to talk about the 4S movement, but then as we were thinking about it, we're going, wait a minute, we're also called to be active here in the land in which we are, not only to those who are Canadian by birth, but those who are coming in. And so we added the 5S, C2C, in Canada. And we do that, we make sure that the work is financed through the Global Advance Fund. That's why on your envelopes, there's a place to designate some of your offering to go towards missions, to go towards work overseas. And this is the Global Advance Fund, and over 70% of those funds go directly into missions. Some of it stays here to missions overseas. Some of it stays here in Canada to work among people who have come into our country. Some of it goes into our schools for training. But we want to make sure that we have that opportunity to reach people around the world for Jesus Christ. And so in that regard, I want to read a passage of scripture from the book of Matthew. Jesus here has been out teaching. In verse 9, he forgives and heals a paralyzed man. He calls Matthew to come and follow him. He answers questions about fasting. He raises a dead girl and heals a sick woman. He heals the blind and the mute. Jesus is on mission doing these things. And then in verse 35 of chapter 9, we read this. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." That far God's word this morning. This passage of Scripture is Jesus' call to us as the church to go out. And so when he talked to the disciples, it wasn't a new thing. At the end of Matthew, the Matthew 28 passage, it's not something new, but it's something that Jesus had been talking to the disciples about over and over and over again. Now, something that I want us to focus on and to think about as we're going through this passage this morning is the fact that there's a difference between pity and compassion. We're going to talk a little bit more about the word compassion, but I wanted to do this first, that the word Jesus has here, or the word that the scripture has here, is that Jesus had compassion on the people. There's a big difference between pity and compassion. Pity is a mere emotion. It's just an emotion. If you see someone in the church or someone in your neighborhood who has a financial need and you say, man, that's too bad, I really feel sorry for them, that's pity. But compassion compels action. It means that as you see that need, you're stepping in to do something about it. To take your wallet out of your pocket and pull some of the money that's in there, or go to your bank and get some cash, or do something to help that particular need that you have, or get a group of people together to do something. That's compassion. And that's the focus, that's the idea that we want to keep in mind, is that as we talk about this morning, we're talking about working out of a heart of compassion, not working out of a heart of pity. The Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, when they looked down on this world, didn't see the world out of a sense of pity, out of eyes of pity. They didn't look down and say, man, these guys have gotten themselves into a mess, and then just leave it there. But there was a plan. There was a plan that included Jesus the Son coming to this earth to be born of the Virgin, to live in this world among us, to set aside the advantages of divinity, to become a man. And while he was fully God and fully man, he operated in the man realm, the human realm, while he was here on this earth. And he died for our sins on the cross. John 3:16, that very familiar passage that pretty much everybody has memorized. For God so took pity on the world. Is that what it says? No. For God so loved the world. And love is much more akin to compassion, because love often compels us to act. When we approach someone and we deal with someone out of a sense of love, it's very rarely just with feelings, but action is involved. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. That was God working out of compassion. And so as we go through this passage this morning, I just want to very quickly look at six words or phrases that help us to understand what Jesus was talking about and how it ties into the way we think and act and operate when we look at working overseas, we look at evangelism overseas, we look at sharing the work of Jesus Christ in evangelism beyond our borders. And so the first word we want to see is look. Look. In verse 36, it says, when he saw the crowds, when he saw the crowds. How did he see them? Well, verse 35 tells us he was out among them. He saw them because he was going from town to town, village to village, synagogue to synagogue, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom. And he saw what was going on in the people's lives. In John chapter 4, verse 35, Jesus says, don't you have a saying, it's still 4 months until the harvest? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They are ripe for harvest. Jesus saw the people. He saw them and loved them. He saw them and he loved them. And he saw how great the need and the multitude was. I read an interesting statistic as I was preparing for this message. In Jesus' day, it's estimated that the world's population was about 250 million people. About 250 million people. It took until 1650 to double that population to about 500 million. So, over 1,600 years. To double the population to 500 million. It only took another 154 years until 1804 for there to be a billion people in the world. Then in another 123 years, by 1927, it again doubled to 2 billion. Another 51 years, we get to 1974, and it had doubled to 4 billion. That's 1974. Today, 33 years later, we're at 7.5 billion. We haven't quite doubled, but we're going to get there within the next 2 or 3 years. And we'll be hitting that 8 billion mark. Think about that for a moment. What's going on in our world in these days? And every single one of those individuals is a heart and a life and a soul that Jesus came and died for. And that we have an opportunity to be a part of sharing the good news of Jesus Christ with. Now, there's nobody here who can reach 8 billion people. And Jesus doesn't want you to. Satan would like us to look at that number and go, oh, it's too big a problem to even begin to tackle. It's too big a problem to even begin to tackle. No, we are to see and to look that there's a crowd that needs Jesus Christ. Jesus said, open your eyes and look at the fields. He says, look. And so when the news comes on, or when we see things on TV about life that's happening in other parts of the world, and pity comes into our hearts and minds, let's shift that pity to compassion. We're going to talk about how we do that in just a couple of moments. But look, see what's going on around you. One of the things that it's real easy to do in the world in which we live is there's so much stuff going on, it's easy to kind of put blinders on and narrow our focus down to our little worlds and maybe our families and the things that are going on around us, because it's just, there's just too much. There's too much going on. But I encourage you, take those blinders off and look. And look through the eyes of Jesus. And when we do that, we see the second term, empathize. That's where this word compassion comes in. He had compassion on them. Jesus continually saw the lost around him, and it broke his heart. He looked at the crowds, and it broke his heart. He had compassion. He empathized where they were at. Scripture tells us that when Jesus was coming into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday, is that he looked down on Jerusalem and he wept over it, and he longed to gather them in like a mother hen gathers its chicks. He just saw how lost they were. And that was the attitude of his heart. I was thinking, it's not a place I've had an opportunity to go, but imagine you're in the revolving restaurant atop the Chateau Lacombe. And you're looking down over the city. It might be daytime where you can see things clearly. It might be nighttime when you can see the lights. But for most people, it's kind of a, wow, is this a cool sighting. My wife and I, for one of our anniversary celebrations, when we lived out on the coast, we went down to Seattle. And we did the dinner or the brunch on a Saturday at the Space Needle. And we could see all the way to Mount Rainier, which was like 75 miles away. It was one of those absolutely clear, gorgeous days. It was amazing. I'll be honest. I didn't look down at the city of Seattle with compassion and wonder about the lost people who were down there. That was not one of my emotions as I looked down that day. But can you imagine Jesus looking down and seeing all the people, all of their hearts and all of their lives? You see, when we see the need of the world around us with empathy, knowing that they need Christ, it makes a big difference in how we approach them. We look, we empathize, and then we examine. Verse 36 continues this way, because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus thought of the lost people in that crowd like being sheep without a shepherd. There's an evangelist by the name of Bill Rice who said this about sheep. He said, sheep are geographical morons. basically, they have no clue where to go. When I started pastoral ministry in Warburg, one of the guys who was part of the church there had some sheep. And we were out there the one day, and we were trying to help them with something, and they're idiots. They're just so dumb. They go to places where they shouldn't go. They put themselves in situations that they shouldn't put themselves in, and then they can't extricate themselves. They can't get them out. Somebody has to help them. Sheep without a shepherd are basically some other animal's lunch. Like, they just don't get it. That's the way Jesus saw us, that we didn't have the defenses needed to cope with the evil in this world. Isaiah says, "We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each one has turned to our own way." Without that shepherd to guide us, we're in big, big trouble. It might not seem like it from a human point of view, but when we look at the eternal perspective, we definitely are. And so I would encourage you to think this way. When you see someone's life, instead of looking at them and their problems and thinking, if they would just, realize that they probably need someone to step in and to help them through the just. Maybe to provide some financial resources. Maybe to teach them how to live with in the situation that they're in. Maybe someone to counsel them, to help them get through the brokenness and woundedness that's there. Maybe they need something as simple as food to get to the next paycheck. Maybe they just need a friend because they feel like they're all alone in the world. In those things, as we see them, as we examine their life and we step in to fulfill that need, give us the opportunity to be that person who then shares the gospel with them. And that's what many, many, many of our international workers are doing. They step in, they examine, and they step into the areas of greatest need in the lives of people and help them there, which opens a door for the gospel presentation to come through. There's such a difference between pity and compassion. Compassion enables us to take that next step beyond seeing what's going on, to empathize and to examine what's needed and to step in and help where that need is. The next verse, verse 38, helps us to understand how we can carry that out. The fourth one we see is that we are called to wrestle through prayer. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Ask the Lord of the harvest. Pray. Pray. We need to pray for missions and for missionaries. It's something that all of us can do. Pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest field, into a world that desperately needs Jesus Christ. One of the things that the Christian Missionary Alliance has done is to take very seriously something called the 10:40 window. If we flip to the next slide. The 10:40 window is that area between 10 degrees north latitude and 40 degrees north latitude. And if you look at that slice of the world, which is North Africa, a lot of Asia, in that area in there, some of the island nations, almost two-thirds of the world's population lives in that slice of the world. Over 60% live in there. It's a highly populated part of the world. That term, 10:40 window, was coined by a missionary strategist in 1990 and referring to this area. The three elements that really make this area stand out, it's the area of the world with the greatest poverty and lowest quality of life, combined with a lack of access to Christian resources. And we can see where that window encompasses. And if we go to the next slide, we see that in this area, there's a great deal of it is Muslim. A big chunk is Hindu, communist, atheist through China, and then Malaysia and some of the island countries, Buddhism. Those are the main areas of faith, and Christianity is very, very small in many, many of those countries. And so that's the area that the Christian Missionary Alliance has chosen to refocus on. For many years, most of our missions work was either in Africa or South America and some in Asia. But in many of the countries that we were working in, there were healthy, growing national churches. And so in a lot of countries, we've pulled our missionaries out of those countries. The national church is doing the work, and our missionaries are being redeployed into these areas. And God is doing some absolutely incredible, amazing things. I encourage you to go onto the Alliance National website and just read some of the stories. Click under International Workers. Do some searching around there and see some of the stories that are being told of the kinds of things that God is doing to reach people in those areas of the world. And how so often, and again we're seeing, and we've talked about this, when things go wrong from a human standpoint, how God takes that and flips it around, and all of a sudden what seems like a bad thing turns out to be a much better thing for the kingdom. Missionaries who get kicked out of one place land in a place where the ministry is much more fruitful, or they have an opportunity through nationals to reach back into the place that they come from, and there's more harvest going on there now than when they used to live there. We need to be praying and wrestling in prayer for God to send more workers into these areas, and not just these areas, but for the missionaries who are already there. Kelly and Jolene are a good example. One of the things that Satan wants to have happen for those who commit to the call is to discourage them and to get them out of there, so that they can't fulfill the call of God on their lives. And so we talk about praying for Kelly and Jolene up here. My prayer is that you're doing that on a regular basis, and that they're being lifted up in incredible ways in these days, that Kelly will find help and healing for the depression that he's going through. And this is not going to be something that Satan has a victory in, but what Satan means for bad, God's going to turn around and use for good, and use him in more special ways than he can imagine in the days that are ahead. We are called to wrestle in prayer. Fifthly, we need to consider going. The harvest is plentiful, the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers. To send out workers. Might that be you? Might that be you? Now, there's a lot of excuses not to go, a lot of reasons not to go. If someone asked you, why are you not a missionary? Give me a reason that you're not a missionary. Here's some of the things we could say. Well, I'm not a good speaker. Well, God can give you ability and practice through practice and training. I don't have a Bible education. There's colleges and seminaries that help us with that. I'm too old. Well, actually, in today's world, you're probably not. It's very interesting. We actually have a program within the Christian Missionary Alliance to get people who are retired going overseas. Well, they don't do exactly the same work as some of the people who are there full-time year after year, like Kelly and Jolene and others. But for many of them, there's a significant role to play. And they're spending their retirement years doing that. I'm afraid. That's why we have the promise at the end of the Great Commission where Jesus says, "Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world." Simply ask God, what would you have me to do? It was an interesting situation for us when I was in Bible college. I actually thought I was going to be heading to the mission field. I actually switched my major when I was in Bible college to missions. And that's where I was going and I was heading. And there were some specific things that happened in my life where God changed that direction and called me into ministry instead, to ministry here in Canada. One of the things that I have enjoyed is the opportunity to go overseas when I can. and to encourage people to support our international workers overseas through prayer and through giving. The work that they do is absolutely amazing, and we get to be a part of it. Our founder, A.B. Simpson, that was the desire of his heart. When he was pastoring, and he left a very prestigious pastoral position where he was doing very well, both from a pastoral church growth point of view and from a financial point of view, because it was a very, very wealthy church that he was a part of. His heart's desire was to go overseas as a missionary to China. God said, no, I want you here. And instead, through him, built the Christian Missionary Alliance. How many missionaries, how much more successful has the mission effort been because he built that? And so it doesn't mean we can't be involved in significant ways, even if we don't have great financial resources, even if we're not the leader of a denomination. But we can indeed seriously consider going. And if we can't, then finally, number six, we can deputize. Deputize simply means to temporarily act or speak on behalf of someone else. Jesus, before ascending to the Father, said this, "Then Jesus came to them and said, 'All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age.'" That, again, is our great commission at the end of Matthew. We're all commanded to go, to be doing that as we're going, but there is more than one way to go. It might be our going, might be the drive around the block to get to the neighbor's place next door, as we saw in the video. Or it might be to deputize someone and to send them in our place. And that's what we do every time we put money into the offering for Global Advance. That's what we do whenever we are praying for our international workers or others who are involved in other organizations. Certainly the Christian Missionary Alliance isn't the only group in the world that's doing significant work overseas. Many, many organizations are doing that. One of the things we're going to do this morning is we're going to deputize Mike and Sabrina and Lorraine to go on our behalf. I want you to think about that seriously. When we look at the trip that they're about to take, as they head off for Fiji, they're going to be gone from March 7th to March 21st. They're going to Fiji. They're not just going as individuals. They're going as representatives of this church as well. Remember the fundraiser that we had when poor Grandma Ruth kept trying to buy tapioca pudding and it just didn't work? We had some fun, but we were raising funds so that these three individuals could go overseas and could share the gospel message through the schools there to give them materials so that that can be an ongoing process so that the churches can read into the schools. And so we just want to make sure we know what it is that they're doing. So if we flip to the next slide, we can see there's kind of Fiji out in the middle of the ocean, kind of in the middle of nowhere. It's a long ways, 10-hour flight time from Los Angeles, even 4-hour flight time from Australia. It's kind of out in the middle of nowhere. But if we zoom down, we see that really, on the next slide, they're a part of a great group of islands that are off the coast of Australia. And if you're starting to see the yellow part that's right above New Zealand, they're there. And then we come down into Fiji itself, which is two main large islands and then a whole bunch of smaller islands. That's where Mike and Sabrina and Lorraine are going to be going. And so I'm going to ask Mike and Sabrina to come up here, up to the front. But I'm going to ask somebody else. I'm going to ask all the kids who are here to come up onto the platform beside me right over here. And I'm going to ask Mike and Sabrina to come into the front here. So I'm going to ask the kids to come up in behind. So come up onto the platform right here beside me. And I'm doing this for two reasons. Number one is I believe our children need to understand that we're doing this. They've already been down and done some presentations for them. And boys and girls, do you remember when Mike and Sabrina came and did a puppet show for you and told you about their trip? Yeah. So you know what we're going to do today is we're going to pray for them, and we're going to ask God to bless them on their trip. And we want you to help us as adults pray for them. And so that's what we're going to do as well today. We're hoping and we're trying. Yeah, go ahead and get Lorraine up there. There's Lorraine. We've got her Skyped in. So go ahead and give everybody a wave, Lorraine. Yeah, she's waving to us. She can't see us, but we can see her. And so we wanted her to be a part of this, to know that we're praying for them as a team, that God will just give them a real blessing and a fruitful ministry on the trip that they're on. Let's, Mike, you just want to check that mic? Oh, there we go. Good. Okay. Good stuff. And so as we come to prayer time, as we're going to do that in just a minute, I'm going to give Mike and Sabrina this microphone and just ask them if there's anything that they would like special prayer for. And then Lorraine, if we can, hopefully we can hear Lorraine. And we're going to ask you that as well, Lorraine, if there's something special you would like us to be praying for you for on this trip. So just start with...
Okay,
start with Mike first. And go through.
Well, we are ready. I'm almost packed. I'm not sure if Sabrina started, but yeah. So we got everything there. We just, you know, we have great things planned, but we need to be led by the Holy Spirit. So we, you know, we plan on going into 15 schools. We plan on doing teacher training to 30 teachers on the Saturday. Plan on doing some sort of Sunday school or stuff like that on the following Sunday. So when we get there, we got lots of team building to do and organizing. But we just want to be led. And I don't know, I was telling Sabrina it's hard to sleep last night because it's only 2 days away. But it's exciting, and I guess the biggest prayer is that we're bringing a lot of stuff, and we're just going to hope and pray that the airlines have mercy with us and don't charge us an arm and a leg. So.
I think a big thing would be our safety as we travel, and I just would ask you guys to pray for the people of Fiji that, you know, they can open their hearts to God and they can just listen to what we're going to come and say to them.
Okay. Lorraine, how about you? Good, thank you. So we're going to do this a little bit differently. And so instead of just a couple of people up here praying for these folks, we're going to ask you as a congregation to come up here and to gather around. So as you stand up, kind of push these chairs back a little bit. But let's everybody come up to the front here. And those who are close to Mike and Sabrina, lay your hands on their shoulders. You can come up onto the platform here as well behind them if you like. And then lay your hands on those who are laying hands on, so that we're one big circle. And then if you give me this microphone so that Lorraine can hear, then what I'd like is I'd like three or four people to pray. And I'm going to give you the microphone so that Lorraine can hear us as well. Otherwise, she won't be able to hear what's going on. And so we're just going to take a few moments, and we're going to pray for these folks. Boys and girls, you can come right in here. Awesome. And then we're going to pray for them, ask God's blessing on them. You've heard their prayer requests. And so if you would like to pray, just put your hand up and I will hand you the mic, or we'll get the mic passed down to you. And I'm going to ask that three or four people would pray for them and just ask God's guidance and blessing. And as we commission them as a church, we deputize them to go on our behalf so that the gospel of Jesus Christ goes out beyond the borders of Muir Lake Community Alliance Church all the way to the country of Fiji. Because we believe that the gospel is what everyone needs. So who's going to start us out? Do I need to pick someone to start us? Do we got the mic on?
There it's on.
There we go.
Lord, we just thank you so much for this team that's going to feed you this year and that the way you've brought this all together, Lord. Thank you for Lorraine, thank you for Sabrina, and thank you for Michael, that they are willing to go and that they want to represent us in Fiji to the schools, to the children. Lord, I also pray for the Fijians that will be joining this team, and I pray a special blessing on Nancy and Sam. Lord, Nancy has worked so hard. She's gone by bus to Suva to get letters so that she can go into the schools. She has gone to each of the schools and made arrangements for the team to show up there and to present your gospel. Thank you, Lord, that this country allows us to go into their schools to present your gospel. And Lord, I just pray that a nation of children will be raised up to be sent throughout the world from Fiji to represent you, Jesus. And we ask this all in your name, Jesus, and safe travels for the team. Amen.
Father God, we just thank you for being with the team, how you arranged it, how everything came together, and how you're obviously with us. Lord, we just pray for safety. Pray for safety for Mike, Lorraine, and Sabrina over there. Pray that you'd guard them against attacks of the enemy, Lord, that you'd just be with them every single day. And Lord, we just pray that they'd be mindful of you, that every word that they would utter would be influenced by you, and they would be used by you, Lord. Just pray for hearts and minds that they'd be open. Pray that as the doors open, that they'd be stepping through. And Lord, just pray for the team there, that they would be working well with the team from here, Lord, and just build relationships with that would last a lifetime. And Lord, we just pray for physical things. Just pray that every piece of luggage would get down there safely, all the books and all the materials. And Lord, that you'd open doors like you have before, that it wouldn't cost a bunch of money to. And Lord, be with Denise and the family back here and the other families. Watch over them, keep them, protect them. And Lord, we just look forward to seeing what you're going to do in the people's lives down there and the team's lives also. Lord, we just ask you to be with them in a very special way. In your Son's name, Jesus Christ, amen.
Do we have one more?
Lord, we just thank you for this team that's going, Lord, and we pray that you would, as I had 5 minutes of the sermon, that we're commissioning them to go, Lord, because we can't go right now. We just pray that you would, or that we deputize them, pray that you'd be with them, that you would be with the families back home, that they would know that the team is safe while they are over there, that they could be reassured of that, and they wouldn't live in fear, Lord. And we pray that you would just protect them from sickness and illness, that they would just be able to use every day for your glory. And we pray also, as these kids are standing up here, Lord, we just learned that you are with us always, that even in the boat with the disciples, that you were with them always. And we talked about how Sabrina and Mike and Lorraine don't need to be afraid, because no matter where they are, and it's even more real with all that water around the island, Lord, that you are with them always. And we pray that they would just live every day with that confidence. Keep them safe. In Jesus' name.
Father, we are so grateful that in all things you have promised to be with us. And so, Lord, you right now already know the things that you have planned for this team on the journey, the things that you are going to do in Sabrina's life, and that you're going to teach her and to show her your love for her in a new way, the things you're going to do in Lorraine's life, Lord, and that places where she's going to be challenged and grow. And Lord, I can just see her excitement to serve you in this. And Lord, I just pray that you would just fill her with a sense of your joy and your purpose as she goes through this. For Mike, Lord, as he gives leadership to some of the devotional times that they're going to have together, Lord. I just pray that you would use them all in special ways, that you would take their different gifts, that you would tie them together in one neat package, and then together with the gifts of those who are on the ground in Fiji, that this would be a work that wouldn't just be something that happens over a couple of weeks and then melts away, but Lord, that there would be a continuing growth and residue of contact between the church and the teachers and the schools and the children and the families that are represented there. And then, Lord, that there would be a harvest out of this. And Lord, that one day as we step into the kingdom, all of a sudden we're going to see this is what happened when we took the time to send and to give and to pray 3 people from North America to go halfway around the world to Fiji. Because, Lord, that's what you called them to do at this point, and together we are obedient to you. And so, Lord, we put this all into your hands, asking for your leading, your guiding, your incredible blessing and protection on their lives. And, Lord, that as they come back to us, they would come back with hearts that are full of joy and share with us in a special way that will encourage us to take the next step that you have called us to be men and women who share the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in all the circumstances we find ourselves. And Lord, in all of these things, we trust you. Now, Lord, we just pray your blessing. May you bless them and keep them. Make your face shine upon them and give you peace. And God's people said, amen. Blessings on you guys. Blessings on you, Lorraine. And let me encourage you, get a chance to see Mike and Sabrina this morning. Assure them of your prayers. Give them a hug. Let them know we're going to be thinking about them and praying for them when we come back. And Mike's got some cards that will help you to remember to pray for that. And Lorraine, God bless and enjoy.
Thank you. Thank you for your blessings and prayers.
Thank you. You are dismissed.